I chose as the theme for today's service, Sea Sunday. And the second Sunday in July has been a traditional day on which to mark Sea Sunday, a day in which around the world many Christian churches remember and pray for seafarers and their families and give thanks for their lives and work. There are a number of welfare organisations for seafarers, and maybe you have a favourite one. There are too many to list this morning. And although I don't have any direct experience of going to sea, except down the water, today I have drawn on resources from Sailor Society, the oldest of those maritime welfare charities, founded more than 200 years ago in 1818. After the Napoleonic Wars ended, the need for ships dwindled, and many seafarers found themselves out of work and facing poverty and great uncertainty. But there was a determined group of Christian preachers and lay people who pledged together to alleviate the worldly woes of those distressed seafarers. And their passion for this cause saw the beginnings of the oldest Christian maritime charity in the world. Today, it's estimated that worldwide there are 1.89 million seafarers. I don't know the verification of that, but I'm sure it is a number that goes up and down. And as we heard in that psalm about the waves that went up and then down, I think I felt a wee bit of a sore tummy at that thought. And you've maybe seen on television those documentaries about the fishermen going out to get fish for our plates and how wild the sea is around our own coasts. But Sailor Society is an international Christian charity working in ports all around the world. They appoint chaplains and ship visitors to help seafarers and their families of all faiths and none with welfare and practical support. They catch fish and bring it to our plates, as I've said. They transport goods from around the world, and we'll often be reminded of where our clothes are made and the conditions in which these things happen, perhaps also the conditions in which our food is grown and the workers who are involved. But I don't think we are reminded very often, if at all, of what it costs in human terms to transport these goods to us personally. So I'm going to try, and I just say this to you, it's up to you what you do, but I'm going to try when Miriam told us what would Jesus do at the shops, look at the things I'm buying and think, where did this come from and who was involved in bringing it to me, and give thanks for them and ask God's protection on those who transport them. Of course, there are other reasons why people go to sea. There's defence of the realm, enjoying leisure activities, seeking adventure, fleeing danger, and rescuing from danger. In a wee while, we will sing the famous hymn, For Those in Peril on the Sea. And as well as the seas and the oceans, I want to widen our perspective, because at this warm time of the year, people are tempted to go into other waters, aren't they? Reservoirs, rivers, lochs, lakes, and other waterways. But as the famous story of King Canute and the waves reminds us, humans can never control the waters of the earth. The story of Jesus calming the storm that we've already heard about is repeated in three of the Gospels. It's of course in Matthew where we heard it, but also in Mark and Luke. They're all accounts of the same story, but they give us different perspectives on what is going on. And as with all the Gospel stories, there are many layers. There is context and messaging there for us all to learn from and to apply to our own lives. It's an ideal reading for this Sea Sunday, as we spend time thinking about those who go to the sea and the many storms that beset them. When we think of storms, You may have memories of the great storms, 1987, the famous one that wasn't going to happen, the storm in 1968, and one in 1953, and the devastating effects on land of wind and water. At sea, typhoons and large storms can shipwreck even the largest container vessels. Those disciples who fished the Sea of Galilee were well aware of the power of the storm that whipped up and how a small wooden fishing vessel could easily be submerged, taking the lives of those on board. In the culture of those Hebrew scriptures that we have in our Old Testament, large bodies of water were the home of Leviathan, the embodiment of chaos, and only God could control the sea and its destructive power. And when Jesus calmed the storm, controlled and defused that destructive power, Jesus proved that his power was divine power, the power of God. And it wouldn't have gone unnoticed that what Jesus did mirrored exactly those words of Psalm 107. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He brought them out of their distress. He calmed the storm to a whisper, and the waves of the sea were hushed. They rejoiced in the silence, and he guided them to the harbour they desired. Jesus fulfilled those prophetic words in the psalm. But the psalm and the gospel readings are not just tales from days long ago. And the gospel passage isn't just a theological statement about Jesus' identity. When we hear about Jesus calming the storm, we here in 2023, on the 9th of July in Claremont Parish Church East Kilbride, I haven't got the postcode to hand, when we hear that, we are encouraged to have that same faith in the middle of all the storms of our lives, that Jesus will be with us. And when we cry out to him, whatever our trouble is, he hears us, he is with us, he accompanies us and leads us out of our distress. He will calm the storm and hush the crashing waves. He may not take away what is troubling us. He is with us, to be with us in it and through it and out the other side. I don't know what that means to each one of you here today. I don't know what you're going through. You don't know what it means to me today. We don't need to share all these things. We need to remember Jesus is with us in the storm. And even if we can't see what Jesus is doing, what Jesus is saying, we can trust and believe that he will never, ever leave us or forsake us. I believe that. Whatever is going on in your life, in my life, we all know the ongoing reality in our world of COVID, of wars and rumours of wars, of financial and safety worries, and all our own personal concerns for ourselves, our loved ones, our friends. And if we are struggling, let us try to put ourselves in the position of those folk who are at sea. Others went out to sea in ships, conducting trade on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Seafarers can be at sea for months on end. They do so many different jobs, working on the decks in all weather. Officers on the bridge, overseeing navigation from one port to another. Engineers maintaining and running the engines. And of course, the cooks, the people need to be fed. Many of those seafarers come from the poorest areas of the world. Their wages are low, their hours are long, and they're separated from their families. Birthdays, anniversaries, and even bereavements go by without them being able to be present with their loved ones. And even if they can't get a signal or Wi-Fi on their phones, they can't even FaceTime or text a message. It's a thought, isn't it? As well as facing real weather storms, scary storms, they face the storms of isolation and loneliness and all the other things that we are experiencing: finances, safety of family members, and health problems, and what is happening to their families. In the crisis situations, whether global, local, or personal, can we say with any degree of confidence that not only God is with us, but that God hears and answers our prayers? Can we recall with thanksgiving that often God does this through other people who have heard God's call? Perhaps they have just had a nudge to phone you or to come to your door and say, you've been on my mind, how are you? You don't need to bring them anything, you know, it's just your presence is the gift, isn't it? How often have you yourself felt a nudge like that and responded and found that you were in exactly the right place at the right time to be a listening ear, to be a comforting hand for someone else who needed it? If you and I have known God's help in that way, at times have we shared our experience with someone else to encourage them to listen for God's nudge and to put their trust in Him too? For those in peril on the sea, their prayers are often answered by the maritime charities, providing them with things that they need to weather the storms that beset them. And help is offered regardless of their background or faith. If you're interested in finding out more, because there's so much that could be said about these wonderful people who work in the maritime welfare charities, you only need to look on the internet or ask someone to show you where it is. You will find so much to give you food for thought and information to fuel your prayers. Let the Sailor Society and other organisations know that helping seafarers to understand how to prepare for life at sea and for their good mental health takes away, for many of them, those smaller storms. And they have embraced all the new technology and an e-learning app which gives every seafarer, from cadets right through their careers, the opportunity to take their well-being into their own hands, to look after themselves, their own well-being and those of others, doing everything they can to help to calm the storms in their lives. Our gospel story highlights the need for true faith in Jesus. And I'm going to read to you now something that I found which I had never seen before. The Seafarer's paraphrase of Psalm 23. I don't know if anyone's familiar with this, but I really commend it to you, and there are several small variations in it. But let's listen. The Lord is my pilot. I shall not go adrift. He lights my passage across dark channels. He steers me through the deep waters. He keeps my log. He guides me by the evening star for my safety's sake. Yes, though I sail amid the thunders and tempests of life, I will dread no peril, for you are with me. Your love and your care shelter me. Your stars and heavens, they comfort me. The vastness of the sea upholds me. You prepare a harbour before me in the homeland of eternity. Surely sunlight and starlight, fair winds and safe harbours shall be found on the voyage I take all the days of my life. And I shall dock in the port of our God, secure forever. Amen.